Welcome back. In this intermediate Ableton Live drama and bass lesson, we're tackling one of the biggest why does my break sound messy issues, break tails. And when I say tail, I mean everything that happens after the main hit, the room ring after the snare, the simple wash, the little hissy ambience between notes, ghost notes smearing into the next transient. In D&B, that tail is either the secret sauce that makes a break feel alive or the fog that makes your whole groove feel washed out. Today we're cleaning break tails using only stock Ableton tools, no third-party plugins. And we're doing it in a way that keeps the character of the break intact. Because if you sterilize a break too much, it stops rolling. By the end, you'll have two solid options: a fast method for quick cleanup on a single audio track, and a more pro method where you split the break into hit and tail layers so you can control punch and ambience separately. That hit-slash-tail approach is a huge level up for modern rollers, neuro, and still works great for jungle if you keep it musical. Alright, let's set up. First, get your project into drum and bass territory. Put your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll think of 174 as a nice middle ground. Now grab a break loop. Amen. Think. Funky drum or anything with character and some messy spill will actually be perfect for this lesson, because it gives us something to fix. Drop it into arrangement view, pick a clean chunk, usually one or two bars, and consolidate it. That's Ctrl J on Windows, Command J on Mac. Consolidating matters because you want your edits and fades to behave predictably, and you don't want your clip boundaries fighting you. Turn warp on and clip view. For breaks, start with beats warp mode, preserve set to transients, envelope at 100, and transient loop off. If it's too clicky or chattery, you can try Complex Pro, but remember, Complex Pro can soften transients. In D&B, transients are life, so I only go there when I really need it. Quick coach note, warping can exaggerate tails. If you notice the decay getting fizzy or facey, try reducing the beat's envelope down to, say, 60 to 90. Also, take a second and look at transient markers. Sometimes you've got too many microslices, and that creates that weird hash in the sustain. Removing a few markers can actually make the tail more natural. Now, step 1. The fastest cleanup: clip fades and micro edits. This is the old school editor technique, and honestly, it's still one of the cleanest sounding ways to do it because you're not asking a processor to guess. You're just shaping the audio. In arrangement view, make sure you can see fades. If you don't see them, go to the View menu and enable Show Fades, or right-click and find the option depending on your version. Now listen through and find the worst offenders. Common ones: the snare that rings and fills the whole space, an open hat that splashes over the next kick, or a cymbal tail that keeps the gate open forever later on, if you were to gate it. Here's the move. Place your cursor right after a hit, where the tail becomes a problem, and split the clip. Control E or Command E. You're basically creating a little segment that contains mostly tail. Then, grab the fade out handle on that tail segment and pull a short fade. For kicks and hats, try something like 10 to 40 milliseconds. For snares, you can go longer, like 30 to 120 milliseconds, because you usually want to keep some body. A snare in D&B isn't just a crack, it's also the meat right after it. Then add tiny fade-ins on the next slice, maybe 1 to 5 milliseconds, just to prevent clicks. And keep this mindset: you're not trying to create silence between hits, you're trying to create controlled decay. That little bit of noise between hits is part of what makes jungle and D&B grooves feel human and rolling. So if you edit too hard and everything becomes dead air, your loop will stop moving. Once you've done a couple surgical fades, you'll be surprised how much tighter the break already feels. Now step 2. Controlled tail reduction with a stock gate. This is where we make the cleanup consistent and repeatable. On your break audio track, drop a gate, then an EQ aid after it. Optionally, a drum bus later for character, but we'll add dirt only after we've got control. Let's set a starting point on the gate. Threshold somewhere around minus 30 to minus 18 dB. There's no magic number, because breaks vary wildly, but that range gets you in the right neighborhood. Raise the threshold until you can hear the tail beating pushed down or closed. Attack around 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. If the attack is too fast, you can get clicking, too slow, and the transients get dulled. So I like starting around 1 millisecond and adjusting by ear. Hold around 10 to 40 milliseconds. This is a big one. Hold is your anti-chatter setting. If you get that machine gun flutter where the gate opens and closes rapidly on hats, don't immediately crank the release. Try increasing hold first so the gate stays open long enough to not stutter. Release around 50 to 140 milliseconds. Shorter release equals tighter, but it can sound unnatural fast. Longer release is smoother and more realistic, but can bring backwash. You're trying to find the sweet spot where the groove still breathes but doesn't smear. Now, floor and return are your realism controls. If you set floor to minus infinity, that's strict gating. It can be cool for a super tight modern drop, but it can also amputate the groove. So if things start feeling chopped, keep your threshold where it's effective, and raise the floor to something like minus 24 or minus 18 dB. That lets a controlled noise bed remain, but the wash doesn't take over. Look ahead, keep it low, 0 to 1 millisecond. A touch can help preserve transients, but too much can feel weird. Now the key trick that makes gating brakes actually work: filter what the gate listens to. Open the sidechain section inside gate. Even if you're not using an external input, you can use the internal sidechain filter. This is huge because brakes have tons of high-frequency junk that will keep the gate open forever. Set a high pass in the detector around 80 to 140 Hz so sub-rumble isn't triggering it. Then set a low pass around 6 to 10 kHz so the detector ignores the fizzy cymbal wash. What you're doing is telling the gate, open because of the kick and snare energy, not because there's a constant hiss of hats. This one move often turns a useless gate into a musical gate. Coach workflow tip here: set your threshold while you're soloed, so you can hear exactly when the gate closes. Then immediately unsolo and fine-tune release and floor while the bass is playing. Tail problems are mix problems. Something that sounds messy in solo might feel perfect under a release. Or the opposite. Something that sounds fine in solo might smear the bass once everything hits. Also, don't just listen to individual hits. Loop the end of the bar. In rolling DNB, the smear that kills momentum often happens right at the last 16th or last 8th note, where decays overlap and the next bar starts. If you tune your release there, the whole loop tightens up. Step 3. Clean the tail by frequency, not by brutality. After the gate, at EQ8, we're not trying to carve the break into a different sample. We're shaving off the stuff that reads as mud or harsh wash in a full mix. Start with a high pass around 25 to 40 Hz. You're just clearing sub-rumble that eats headroom. Then a small mud dip. Try a bell around 200 to 400 Hz. Cut 2 to 5 dB. With a Q around 1 to 1.6. This is the cardboard room zone that often builds up in brake tails. Then, if the tail is harsh or splashy, try a bell around 6 to 9 kHz, cut 1 to 4 dB, with a tighter Q like 2 to 4. And if it's still too airy and washy, you can do a gentle high shell from 12 kHz down 1 to 3 dB. Important: a slash be this with the bass. If your bass suddenly feels like it lost bite or the groove lost urgency, you probably cut too much low mid from the break. In DNB, the break often provides mid-range motion that helps the bass feel like it's moving. Now step 4. The pro method: bullet hit versus tail. This is the most DNB-friendly way to do tail cleanup because it lets you keep the aggression of the transient while controlling the sustain separately. Think of it like, one layer is the drum punch, the other layer is the room and movement. Option A is simple. Duplicate the track. Duplicate your break track so you have two copies. Name one HIT and one tail. On the HIT track, use the gate more aggressively. Slightly higher threshold, shorter release, something like 40 to 90 milliseconds. You want it tight. Then, if you want, add drum bus on the HIT track only. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch maybe 0 to 10, and be careful with boom. You're aiming for impact, not flab. On the tail track, make it mostly ambience and glue. Gate it gently. Lower threshold. Longer release, like 120 to 250 milliseconds, so it breathes. Then EQ it to keep it out of the way. High pass around 150 to 300 Hz so it's not fighting your kick and bass. Low pass around 7 to 12 kHz depending on how dark you want it. Now pull the tail fader way down until it's barely noticeable, then bring it up just a touch, like 1 or 2 dB. You want to feel it when you mute it, not necessarily hear it loudly when it's on. This is one of those it's working, because you miss it when it's gone layers. Very important technical note: because you're parallel processing the same audio, do a quick phase sanity check. If the combined sound gets thinner or hollow, something's misaligned. Try nudging one track using track delay, or simplify warping on one of the layers. Tiny timing differences can cause cancellations, especially around the snare. Option B is the clean workflow. Build it as an audio effect rack so you can macro control it. Group your devices into an audio effect rack, then create two chains inside it, a hit chain and a tail chain. Hit chain: gate tight, EQ for punch, drum bus if you want. Tail chain: gate gentle, EQ band limited, then utility at the end. Now map a few macros. Tail level map to the utility gain on the tail chain. Tail length map to the release on the tail chain gate. Tightness map to the threshold on the hit chain gate. Dirt map to drum bus drive. This is where it gets fun, because now you can automate your prey cleanliness like it's part of the arrangement, not just a static mix decision. Step 5. Arrange it like DNB. Automate tail cleanliness by section. In drum and bass, you often want a dirtier, more nostalgic, roomier intro and then a super tight, controlled drop, so the bass and drums lock. So try this. In the intro, tail level a bit higher, tail release a bit longer. In the build, tighten it every 4 bars, slightly shorter release, slightly lower tail level. In the drop, tail level down, tail release shorter. Keep the roll tight, and in fills, like the last half bar before a phrase change, briefly raise the tail level and lengthen the release. It acts like a transition effect without adding any extra effects. Small moves matter. 10 to 30% automation on these macros can sound like a completely different break. Now let's do a quick mini practice plan, around 15 to 20 minutes. Load in Amen or Think Break at 174 BPM. Set up the hit and tail split. On hit, set gate release around 70 milliseconds. On tail, set gate release around 180 milliseconds. On tail EQ, set high pass to 250 Hz and low pass to 8 kHz. Balance the tail so it's barely there, then bring it up 1 to 2 dB. Then automate. In the drop, reduce tail level by 2 to 4 dB. In fills, raise it briefly by 1 to 3 dB. Render 16 bars and compare before and after. While you do this, watch for common mistakes. If you gate too hard, you'll kill the swing and it'll feel chopped. If your attack is too fast, you might get clicks. If your release is too short, hats can chatter in that jittery way. If the detector is listening to cymbals, the gate will basically never close. This audio version is shortened for playback.